I'd like to thank you for taking some time to seek our Lord and study His Word a little bit with us. Our intent is to discover the wonder of the life in the Spirit that these people experienced back in the days of the book of Acts. This message was developed for July 18th of 2021. My Bible subtitled it Paul's Defense Before Agrippa, and we will be looking at Acts chapter 26, verses 1 through 11. My message is a little shorter than some because I spent the week out in Indiana at a national conference. We do that every 2 years, and so I spent most of the week out there and quite a bit of the morning when we meet out at Kalita at 9:30 is going to be my report on what happened out there. So this is a little shorter than some. My outline is Paul's defense before Agrippa. Paul's gospel presentation is my first point, and that's the only point of the outline. The Holy Spirit and Paul get their chance now, finally, to share before King Agrippa and his wife and his sister. Agrippa gave Paul an opportunity to defend himself. Paul knew that Agrippa was well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and also their controversies. So from last week, you remember, this is a unique situation in the Roman Empire that a Roman citizen is judged by a Jewish appointed king. Very odd for that period of time. So he asked Agrippa to really listen to him, was one of the first things he did. And Paul told him that he was on trial because of his hope that he had in God. So what is this hope that Paul had in God? What is hope when you define it in your life? I think hope is expectancy. You're hoping that something will happen, and beyond that, you're expecting this to happen. A person that has hope is a person that expects something to happen in their future. So as we look into the Bible, the NIV Reader's Version of Acts 26, 1 through 11 reads like this. Agrippa said to Paul, "You may now speak for yourself." So Paul motioned with his hand, then he began to stand up for himself. "King Agrippa," he said, "I am happy to be able to stand here today. I will speak up for myself against all the charges brought by the Jews. I am very pleased that you are familiar with the Jewish ways. You know the kinds of things that we argue about. So I beg you to be patient as you listen to me. The Jews all know how I lived before and how I lived since I was a child. They know all about me from the beginning of my life. They know how I lived in my own country and how I lived in Jerusalem. They have known me for a very long time. So if they wanted to, they could give witness that I live by the rules of the Pharisees. Those rules are harder to obey than the rules of any other group in the Jewish faith. Today I am on trial because of the hope I have. I believe in what God promised our people long ago. It is the promise that our 12 tribes are hoping to see come true. Because of this hope, they serve God with a true and honest heart day and night. King Agrippa, it is also because of the hope that being Jews are bringing charge against me." Kind of messed that one up. Let me read that again. "King Agrippa, it is also because of this hope that the Jews are bringing charges against me. Why should any of you think it is impossible for God to raise the dead? I myself believe that I should do everything I could to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth." That's just what I was doing in Jerusalem. And I was doing it under the authority of the chief priests. I put many of God's people in prison. I agreed that they should die. I often went from one synagogue to another to have them punished. I tried to force them to speak evil things against Jesus. I hated them so much that I even went to cities in other lands to hurt them. That's the end. What was the hope that Paul had in God? It was the resurrection from the dead. That was his hope. You see, Paul was looking forward to and expecting the resurrection from the dead. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 to 18, Paul gives the church in Thessalonica a word of encouragement and a word of hope. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 18 reads like this. The Lord himself will come down from heaven. He will hear a loud command. We will hear the voice of the leader of the angels' armies. We will hear a blast from God's trumpet. Many who believe in Christ will have already died. They will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them. We will be taken up in the clouds. We will meet the Lord in the air and will be with him forever. So, cheer each other up with these words of comfort. The end. Paul tells us that Jesus is coming again. And on that one day, he will gather the saints who have died from the ages past and those who are living at the time of his coming. So this event is when Jesus returns that these events happen. Paul says that there will be a resurrection one day and we will be with Jesus forever. That's good news. We Christians can share this hope that Paul described. To know that we will spend eternity with Jesus is an awesome fact. There are many around us who do not have this hope. They are living lives of hopelessness. They may think that there is nothing to live for and nothing to look forward to. You and I can give someone hope today. Remember, for Christians, this earth is the only hell they will ever know. Think about that. For Christians, this earth is the only hell they will ever know. But for the sinner who doesn't accept Christ as their Savior, this earth is the only heaven they will know. Think that through. Paul's defense before Agrippa. Point one, Paul's gospel presentation. This is the Holy Spirit and Paul's chance. A. Paul's pre-conversion experience. Paul and his best friend, the Holy Spirit, have, or they show, no fear. As Paul stands before these kings, he shows no fear. One of the interesting things of many of the characters in God's grand drama in the New Testament story is that they were never afraid to confess what they had once been. So many of the characters in the New Testament honestly say the things that they used to do and the way they used to live. Here is this presentation of the king. Paul will confess that there was a day when he had tried to eliminate the Christians. Are we willing to do this? Are we willing to be honest and share what our lives were like before Christ redeemed and saved us by his amazing grace? Oftentimes, Christians aren't willing to be honest about their past. Number one, Paul is happy for the opportunity. Happy, happy. Are you kidding me? Is he being honest? He's happy for this opportunity? Happy about being falsely accused and incarcerated? Happy about the last 2 years in jail? Could you be happy if you were in Paul's sandals? Do you think you could be happy in this situation? I read a story about a famous evangelist named Brownlow North. In his early days, he lived a life that was anything but Christian. Once, just before he was to enter the pulpit in a church, he received a letter. This letter informed him that its writer had evidence from a disgraceful thing which North had done before he became a Christian. And it said that the writer proposed to interrupt the service and tell the whole congregation of the sin that he had done as he preached. Brownlow took the letter into the pulpit, read it to the congregation. He told the story of that thing that he had done, and then he told them that Christ had changed him, and that Christ could do the same for them. He used the evidence of this shame to turn it into glory for God. Number two on our outline, Paul asks them to listen patiently. Listen patiently. I think many who try to express what their life was like before their conversion hope people will give them this, that they will patiently listen to them. Unfortunately, we live in a fast-paced, I-want-it-now world. The attention span of many people, especially young people, seems to be short, not in minutes, but in seconds. Listening to others to understand them is a fading art or action. Being patient as one gathers their thoughts before speaking is often seen as, oh, they're done, it's my turn. So this art of listening patiently is something we Christians could develop in our lives. Paul gives his testimony. That's number three. Paul gives his testimony. Why should any of you think it's impossible for God to raise the dead? He said. I myself believe that I should do everything I could to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. That's what I was doing in Jerusalem. And I did it on the authority of these chief priests. I put many of God's people in prison. I agreed that they should die. I often went from one synagogue to another to have them punished. I tried to force them to speak evil things about Jesus. I hated them so much that even went to other lands to find them and hurt them. You see, Paul was honest. Paul did not try to make himself look good. Paul was not a nice guy before he met Jesus. But after he met Jesus, he was a different person. Be on our outline, Paul's conversion experience. So we looked at his pre-conversion experience. Paul's conversion experience is next. And this is what we will get into next week in the next section of Scripture. The theologian James Denny used to say, the great function of Christianity was in the last analysis to make bad people good. The great Christians have never been afraid to point to themselves as living examples of the power of Christ. The truth is, we can never change ourselves. But it is also true that what we cannot do, Jesus can do for us. And I say, amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the reality of what you have done for us. And thank you so much for the things we went through and did before we were believers. As we look at Paul's testimony here, may it encourage us to be honest and open, not only about what we were like before conversion, but the amazing things that your grace, mercy, forgiveness, love, and acceptance have generated in our lives. May we live as redeemed children in your kingdom today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Fit for